Now, this morning, turn your Bible, please, in the book of Acts, chapter 11. Praise the Lord. We'll have good time this morning, amen? I know you're expecting something. When you decide to get to the restaurant, you're expecting to be fed and enjoy food. When you come to church, if you want a blessing, expect something from God. You've been praying, you've been singing, but the most important thing is feeding and teaching and edification of your soul, that the name of the Lord will be glorified. In this verse here, as I connect my Sunday school, this is the same thing that this first century Christianity were doing. What is that, preacher? Chapter 11 and in verse 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch," listen to that, "speak unto Grecian, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them." That's what I need in my ministry. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Jump in chapter 13. What is your point, preacher? I will connect it to you between these two churches, the church of Jerusalem, the mother church, and this mighty missionary church, the church of Antioch. What is the secret of these both churches? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Chapter 13 and in verse 2. "As they ministered to the Lord," look at that, "and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, I pray this morning, bless your word, bless our time together. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Open the hearts of your people. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful church. Lord, I pray right now, please, please come down and magnify your name and honor your name and speak to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A mighty missionary church. This church is the second capital of Christianity. And we know that the first capital of Christianity is Jerusalem. This is the greatest missionary church in the New Testament. How should we regard the church of Antioch? Why we have such kind of church? What we ought to implement, their practices and their belief, that our church would be a kind of church that God wants us to be. First of all, my friend, I found out from this kind of church, it was a spiritual church. Why you said, preacher, it was a spiritual church? How the church at Antioch was born. This church is a spiritual church because this church was born out of persecution. You think about it in verse 19. They scattered abroad. "Now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen and traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch." But listen, in spite of the midst of persecution, in spite of the final persecution, in spite of tough time, listen, they never quit preaching the word. You know what's our problem today? Little thing would hinder us preaching the word. Little petty things of the word, we quit coming to church. Little things we don't like in our church, we quit serving God. Why? What's the problem here? Our Christianity nowadays is so spoiled, so soft, too far from Christianity in the book. That's the reason why the world out there could not see God, because we are playing church. It is only few Christians that can take the word that will get serious about God. We are not making an impact and doing something great in the work of the Lord because we are playing church. God help us. Amen. This church right here in verse 19. Now they were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen. Preacher, what you're talking about. Stephen's martyrdom still fresh on their mind. They saw it with their eyes how they slaughtered Stephen. They saw it with their mind how they slaughtered the believers that would stand in the name of Jesus. During the time when you stand publicly that you believe on Jesus, the Roman soldiers will come and slaughter you. But in spite of that, he never quit preaching Jesus. What's our problem today? Why we cannot share the gospel? Amen. I believe, and you believe this one, I think we got a problem. We got a problem. We're too far from God's standard. We're too far from the book of Acts Christianity. We call ourselves Christian, but we're not willing, my friend, to stand for the cause of Christ. What is the next verse? And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speak unto Grecian. Look at that. Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you understand the context. Why in spite of persecution, in spite of tough times, in spite of hard times, they preach Jesus. They never quit evangelizing the people. Because of that, next verse says, they got the hand of the Lord. Amen? In verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Look, because they got the hand of the Lord, they were serious about the Lord. They never quit about Jesus. They were filled by the Holy Ghost. Next phrase. And great number believed and turned unto the Lord. God help us to be a kind of Christian that God wants us to be. Amen. That's very clear in the book right there, my friend. They got the hand of the Lord. They have the power of God. I beg you this morning. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's the need in my ministry. That's the greatest need in our leadership. That's the greatest need in our churches. That's the greatest need in our home. That's the greatest need in our country. We Christians sometimes, my friend, we blame the people outside. We blame the politicians. My friend, the judgment of God must begin in the house of God. We cannot blame the politician. Blame ourselves of playing God. Got the power of God. Oh, church, I trust that you'll grieve this kind of Christianity, because everywhere and every corner in your place, souls are dying. Amen. People out there are just waiting to hear the gospel. So my friend right there, in that verse, we can see that church is a powerful church. It's a spiritual church. And evangelism is alive in that church. And the reputation of that church is spiritual. Why, preacher, you see that? Look in verse 22. Look at the reputation of that church. And tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was where?
Wow! The church of Jerusalem heard that they got the same Holy Ghost. They enjoyed the same power of the Holy Ghost. And the church of Jerusalem were excited. My soul! That day of Pentecost in chapter 2, 3,000 souls got saved and got baptized. In chapter 4, about 5,000 souls had added to the church. This same thing going on in that church. Oh God, help us and give us such kind of church. Amen. Oh God, give us such kind of church. A church that would bring an impact. So the reputation of the church is spiritual. And good news, my friend. Reach out to Jerusalem. And because of that, look in verse 22. And then tidings of these things came upon the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And then what? And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Oh, the church of Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas. Oh, the Holy Ghost told the church, oh, send Barnabas to teach the new converts. Send Barnabas to edify and disciple the new converts of the church. The people there are receiving the good news, the word of God. They have no somebody to teach. They are hungry to learn more about God. Can I tell you something this morning, church? There will be no maturity, no spirituality, and no power in your life, in your church, unless you're hungry for the Word of God. It's easy to come to church. It's another thing when you are in your private life. Are you enjoying the Word of God in your private life? How's your private worship? How's your personal devotion? Your daily walk with God is a reflection of your personal, devotional, and private life. Can I tell you something? You know why there are so many Christians are careless and never walk with God? Because they are not hungry and they don't care the word of God no more. That's how Christianity is so lousy. So funny before the world. We are not walking with God. Preacher, that's hard preaching. You only heard me every 25 years. Preacher, we're going to quit supporting you. Your support did not call me. God called me to preach. Preacher, that's what you're doing? That's how I am being preaching all over America. Because Christianity in America is dying. And you need to wake up. Because God bless you beyond measure. You never think how God used you and bless you if you just get back and get serious of your Christianity. Because that's the beginning of your blessings in this country. Everybody happy here? Amen. I love preaching, man. Praise God. In my city, I was the first Baptist preacher that started a Baptist church. You know what's a blessing of that? Because there's no other Baptist around. Even how hard I preach, they still stay. Some are enjoying and some are enduring. But those who are enjoying are the ones who are enjoying their Christian life. Because those who love the Lord love the Word. And the more I preach hard to my people, the more I produce good Christians. Because if you not preach the Word, all Christians are phony and fake. I'm sick and, hey,
I'm sick and tired with phony fake Christians. I'm sick and tired. I would rather have few who are filled with the Holy Ghost and can turn the world upside down.
Are you still comfortable here? Everybody happy? Amen. I love preaching. I love you guys. You are nice people to preach to. You are nice people to preach to. I was one time in a certain church. I was just like I am preaching on the wall. You don't like it. As a matter of fact, no one shook my hand. And then they never give me love gift. Preacher, the preacher never shook my hand. Never given me love gift. I told my wife, we are driving 8 hours. We need the gas for the car. We need food on the highway. God, please, what are you doing here? Lord, what I'm doing here? You must be kidding. And the Holy Ghost said, your favorite verse says, the just shall live by faith. Now you apply that verse. God, my wife is there. And to be honest with you, I feel so weak, discouraged. I never took lunch. I never eat. And I said, Lord, what am I doing? I have no choice. The Holy Ghost came down. I just preached. They need to hear, but they are just rebellious. They don't want to hear the word. But Lord, they mistreated me, never giving me love gift. Oh God, what is this? I drove long hours. And the Holy Ghost said, now is the time to live by faith. The just live by faith. The just live by faith. And then he took my dinner, my lunch. Sunday night, I preach again. I preach again hard. Hallelujah. After church, a guy there came up to me and crying, Brother, no, that's true. I got convicted. Brother, no. He handed me a check. I opened it up, $5,000. Lord, thank you. Amen. This is what I found out. We cannot build a strong Christians unless you're hungry and thirsty of the Word of God. That's my point. Ask yourself, individually, members of the church course, search your heart. Why you are here? Some people come here because you have dinner. Food. That's okay. But if you're coming here for here. Brother, no, that's how you preach in the Philippines. Hallelujah. I hope you get my point here, my heart. My heart and my point is, if there is a time in your life that the Word of God is no more good to you, the Word of God is no more sweet to you and a wonderful words to you, you have a problem, my friend. You got a serious problem. And I promise you one thing too, that when every time you read the Word of God, and God is dealing you, and God is working in your soul, I am telling you, it's a wonderful thing to walk in the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, my friend, to walk daily in the Spirit of God. That's the kind of Christians, my friend, that we need. That's the kind of church that we need. A Christian in the book, not Christian in religion, my friend. That's the only Christianity that can turn the world upside down. That's why they got the hand of the Lord. That's why they have the hand of the Lord. They got the power of God. Well, you know why they got the power of God? Because they were willing to be slaughtered in the name of Christ. They were not soft-spoken.
spoiled Christian. They were willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And that's what we need. That's what we need in our churches today. Now, the Church of Jerusalem, St. Barnabas, you read verse 23, very exciting.
Oh, when he came, Barnabas arrived and have seen the grace of God and was glad.
Oh, amen. Wow. The things that I just heard is real thing. I am telling you right now, the God that you are serving, the God of the book, the God that you are worshiping is real thing, my friend. If the thing is not real to you, the only thing you got is religion, not the God of the Bible. When Barnabas arrived, he had seen the grace of God and he was glad. Next phrase.
Exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord.
I like Barnabas. He did not teach these new believers to worship him. He did not teach these believers to worship him as a leader. He just simply teach the word of God to learn how to cleave unto the Lord. Why these people need to cleave unto the Lord? I'm telling you, they were in the hot persecution. If you are not strong, and if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's easy for you to give up and say, no, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. I am not belong. I identified with that church. Hey, I am with you. Don't take my life. But I'm telling you, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, if your soul is on fire for God, regardless the consequences, you are ready to face it. Why? Because you learn how to cleave unto the Lord in the midst of hard persecution. Christians, you're in tough life. We are in the time when we Christians, we have to take advantage of learning how to cleave unto the Lord. Tough time. Tough. I mean, I'm talking about for families. Dealing your young people. Dealing your society. Drug addictions. The environment. We need God. Amen. We're in a tough time. But we are in the position where all these things, by the grace of God, He would help us through because the grace of God is there. And the power of God.
So the church is very simple. We learned it was a spiritual church. Okay, now, can you imagine what's going on here? Barnabas started his teaching ministry. Now he said, I cannot take no more. I cannot contain no more. I mean, the people 24 hours are hungry. I mean, they are knocking my doors 24 hours just to teach us the word of God. They don't come to Sunday school late. Everybody happy? Yes, sir. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're knocking my door 24 hours. You want to learn more? Now he prayed. After he prayed, he decided to find Paul. Next verse.
In verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Paul.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He was trying to find Apostle Paul, the greatest teacher here. And then he found Apostle Paul. Next in verse 26. And when he had found him,
he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass in the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Apostle Paul joined the team, teaching. Can you imagine the attitude of people? Can you imagine the people that are hungry? That's why, my friend, they got the Holy Ghost, they got the power of God, and more converts added unto the Lord, because the people are hungry, and the teacher were spiritual. The leadership of the church was spiritual. That church is a mighty church. That is a kind of church we need. That is a kind of Christian we need. Spiritual in the lives of the people. Church gatherings packed with eager learners of the word. And the word out there called them Christians. The people outside finally said they are true Christians. Not this pagan Christian, religion Christian. They are true Christian right there, because they love the word of God. They are willing to be slaughtered in the name of Christ. And the people there, the religious people, say, oh my soul, we are fake. We don't care about this thing. Are you following me? Not only it was a spiritual church, and then, chapter 13, verse 1, now, there were the church that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean, preacher? Every member of the church has a ministry. Every. Church, I want you to know, I will say it in a nice and a loving way. If you are a member of the church, my question to you, what's your part in the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church is the body. Being a body has many parts. Question to you this morning, what's your part in the body? Are you a finger? Are you a hand? Are you a foot? Can you imagine if one part of that body is not functioning well? It brings hurt to the church. Can you imagine if the body has only one hand? Can you imagine for the body has only one foot? The people would look at you as handicapped. And that is what's going on in our churches. Why? Christians define their Christianity in the church just come and go. Go home. Amen? No participation. Another thing in that body, you cannot find a part of that body growing and usable, detached from the body. You cannot survive in your spiritual life if you are detached from the church. You should understand, being a member, the importance of being a member and the importance of your part as a member. Why? Anything the parts of the body do is not for the hand. The hand would not function for the hand. The foot would not do the foot for the foot. Every part will function for the body. That's why no one owns the church. Everything we do is for the body. No one should be glorified. No one is somebody. Everyone is a servant. So it was a spiritual church. Number two, it is a serving church. Every part is serving for the body. What a beautiful church. What a powerful church. That the whole world would see a united church.
I want a good church, a solid church. That is what's going to happen if every member do their part as a body. You'll be strong. You will meet an impact. And that is a kind of church that God wants us to be. I hope that helped you. Amen. By the way, if your church is not strong, your faith will not be strengthened. If your faith is not strengthened, your family will be weakened and the devil will get them. So now you see the importance of the church. It's our refuge. It's our defense. Amen? Be apart and strengthened. And lastly, what else preaching we can see in the church? Not only spiritual church, not only serving church. Now verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. What is that preacher? In verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. That church, not only spiritual church, not only serving church, thirdly, is a sending church. Sending church. What do you mean, preacher? The true church should be a missionary church. The true church should be a sending church. Because the church is commanded by God to go all over the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You as individual, you as a church, commanded by God to preach the gospel to every creature. How you can do that? Be a missionary-minded church. Amen? And when they were praying and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. For the work whereunto I have called them. Oh, my friend, they obeyed the Holy Ghost and they chose Barnabas and Paul to be the first Gentile missionaries out from the church. I praise God for this. You know what? The church was so spiritual, they were praying and fasting. The Holy Ghost came down and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. The church of Jerusalem covered the Jewish people. And this church now in Antioch is the first Gentile church. Because the church were listening to the Holy Ghost, we got the gospel in Europe. We got the gospel in America. We got the gospel in the Philippines. From Philippines, we send the missionaries to Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Brunei, all over the world. One thing, because the church were listening to the Holy Ghost. You have no idea what God will do to you as you listen to the Holy Ghost. You have no idea. They have no idea. That the time when the Holy Ghost spoke to the church that they have to send Barnabas and Saul as the first Gentile missionaries, they have no idea that the gospel could reach as far as Brooklyn and Philippines and all over. My friend, all we need in a Christian life is just to submit the leadership to the Holy Ghost, and it's the Holy Ghost that will fulfill the plan of God. And in closing of that verse, I will close. Laid their hands on them and sent them away. During the time, it was the Oriental custom that when somebody, you know, during the time, no cars, no means of transportation, they walk. In the long journey, in the middle of their journey, if it's dark, they would find somewhere or any house and knock their door and said, can we stay overnight in your home? Because we have another long day journey tomorrow. Is that okay? If the host would say, yes, you can stay, that's understood that you have to feed them. It's understood that you have to provide their next day job. journey. So when the Bible says, lay their hands on them and send them away, listen, that's understood that as a church, it's your responsibility to provide the needs of the missionaries. That is the program of God for the church. Because when you go, when you provide the needs of the missionary that will go, you cannot go, but the missionary will go for you. You cannot preach to the Philippines, but the missionary will preach for you. What a blessing. What a blessing to be a part of the work of God. My friend, you are in the position where if you just wise enough to spend your life before eternity and spend your resources for eternity, you have all the opportunities. Let us be wise. Let us have the mind of God using the opportunities that God given to us. Because as what you have said, is not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about Him. That's a good Holy Spirit lead right there as I conclude my message. Go home today and this week. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about Him. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking to many hearts, ministering to many souls. God, I thank you for the privilege of preaching and teaching your people in this church. I know the Holy Ghost conviction is working and starting to work with many hearts this morning. I pray, O Lord, that not just today, but the rest of our lives, we would practice the teaching that we would always depend the work of the Holy Spirit. Bless your word. Bless everyone. Lord, I pray today, if there's anyone in this room that is not sure that when he die, he would get to heaven, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit conviction will bring down to her heart or his heart that before eternity, he'll get saved and settle his eternity with Jesus. Father, I pray, bless the invitation time. While his bow I close, preacher, please pray for me. God, somehow, speaking to me through the preaching that I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Preacher, this is my first time. What do you mean, preacher, that I need to be saved? If you're here this morning, you're not sure 100% that when you die, you get to heaven. Today, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is eternal life. If you just come to Jesus this morning and repent all your sins, Jesus is the answer of your question, and he will secure your eternity before it's too late. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure that if I die, I'll get to heaven. Preacher, please pray for me. I need to be sure. I need to get saved. Is there anyone in this room right now? Preacher, please pray for me. I need to get saved. Is there anyone? Raise your hands up. Is anyone? Is there anyone in this room, member or Christian? Preacher, please pray for me. God is speaking to me while you are preaching. I don't know what area of your life that God is speaking to you. Raise your hand up. I will pray for you. Thank you. Yes, yes, thank you. Preacher, I need to be the kind of Christian that God wants me to be. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in my life. Preacher, I need to live godly. By God's grace, I cannot display Christianity to the world out of my strength. I need the Holy Spirit of God so that the world would see Christ in me and through me. Raise your hands up. I pray for you. Yes, thank you, thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. Father, you see the hands of your people. You see every decision they make. Oh, God, I don't know if it would take for them to come to the altar and kneel down. I don't know. But again, I just trust that their decision today, your name is honored and glorified. And this I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.